Blog Talk Radio.
What do you think of that, Ronnie?
I think that's a wonderful musical entrance.
Let's try this again.
What the heck was that?
That was the intro. You're on, sir. Introduce me.
What?
Do something.
Welcome to Screaming Boy Podcast, episode number 17. We are live on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, and we are so happy to be on here. Thank you, Mark Radulich, for letting us have a live episode tonight. And right now I am with Jesse Starcher. Jesse, say hello to the good people that are listening.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like dubstep. That's what brought us in. Enjoy it.
Savor it.
I tried to make it related to our subject, at least.
Okay. What enlighten me on what that was.
That was Dat Sick and... Oh, man, who was the other guy? There was another dude that was in collaboration with Dat Sick, but King Kong in the Trunk, Dat Sick, D-A-T-S-I-K, and the name of the tune is King Kong, and I think it's sampling a Chamillionaire song, according to YouTube, because I only knew it by the few words that are said, which is King Kong in the Trunk. So naturally, I just go to YouTube and search King Kong in the Trunk. And that brought up a Chamillionaire song first, which is apparently a rapper I don't know much about. But after my day, anyway. But then I know the Dat Sick song really, really well. So I figured, well, hey, that's the only King Kong song that comes right to my mind as soon as we start this episode. Let's bring us in. What a little King Kong dubstep. I got King Kong in the trunk.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It matches matches tonight's episode's theme, what we're going to be talking about. So, Jesse, thank you for that. I mean, that's
I worked
that's
hard.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah.
I did approximately 5 minutes of finding the song, editing it, and then slapping it on Blog Talk.
Well, I tell
hard
you
work.
What.
Hard work.
I enjoyed it. I do enjoy
right.
a good dubstep tune.
Wait till you hear the outro.
Oh, I'm excited. So, if you have not seen it yet, do not worry. There will not be any spoilers tonight. We are actually waiting on a couple of people as well, so I'm kind of... stalling a little bit.
Sure.
Not Joseph.
Joseph
Stalin.
Yeah,
dumb.
All right. Well, hey, I think we might have somebody in here.
Somebody.
740-538-2793. Who may that be?
Yeah.
Justin Thomas?
I've come to haunt you.
All right. Now you're finally on. Justin has made it on, Ronnie Adams.
Sweet. That's good.
I had to call in, but yeah, I made it on.
Yeah,
he's our kaiju expert.
That's it, right. That's right. He actually made the episode by phoning in because, surprise, Skype is not either Skype is not being very nice or his microphone's not being nice. So either way, but he's in here. He is on the phone.
I will tell you this. This is the first time in any time of doing this that Blog Talk has let me use the Direct Connect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the first time. And so this is a monumental day for me and Blog Talk Radio. So
it's been forever since I've actually hosted an episode too, like actually sat behind and messed with the switchboard and stuff. Usually, you know, me and you guys are over on YouTube doing stuff over there, and then I edit later. But it's been a long time since I've been behind the switchboard here.
How's it feel?
I'd rather be behind. I'd rather be on YouTube. But hey, that don't matter.
I'm gonna try something out of you guys real fast here. So keep on talking there.
Okay.
All right. Tonight, Adam will be in the studio hopefully shortly. But tonight we are talking about, first of all, we're talking about Kong Skull Island. Now, before this even hit, it was one of those movies to me that I just didn't know about. I was just hadn't really heard much about it. I knew there were big names in it, and it was another just King Kong movie. So I didn't know what to expect from it or anything like that. So, but before we get into that, we're going to take a look at just the overall aspect of King Kong. King Kong has actually been around for since 1933 or 34. So the first one was 1930. Oh my goodness.
33.
Yes. So
yep.
A lot of claymation. A lot of. Pardon me.
Willis O'Brien he created Kong.
Yeah, he created Kong. So as you know, King Kong is a giant gorilla. Now, he has varied in size over the years. I think the first one was just big enough to swat planes out of the air, climb the Empire State Building, and have a lady in his hand the entire time he was doing it. Good old Faye Ray. It has been a re-release in 1976 and 2005 as well. So 1976 was a little different. That one was with Jeff Bridges, Charles Grodin, and Jessica Lange. Was not met with the best reception in the world. It was commercially successful, but I think it was critically a failure.
Also on the World Trade Center.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think if I remember right, I recall as a kid watching this, the 76 one. Now, this was, you know, obviously clearly way after. Yeah, I was born in 78, so it was on HBO, and I think I was catching it in like a hotel or something. We didn't have HBO as a kid, but we would be able to be treated somehow if we stayed like at the beach or something. Hey, there's cable. We could check out cable. And I was really, really upset at the end of that movie, how sad it was when, spoiler alert, King Kong got killed. And I think he was shot like thousands of times with like the planes and all that stuff. And I remember being really upset and like really sad that King Kong got killed in that movie. And of course, that's probably my first ever. That movie right there is my first ever introduction to the large ape.
Mm-hmm. And of course, in the very first 1933, you've got the characters of Ann Darrow, Carl Denham, John Driscoll, Captain Englehorn, all your mainstays there, and then. Of course, in the 76 one, I don't think they changed things up much. You had Jack Prescott, Fred Wilson. They did change it up. Sorry. I was thinking of the other one. Like I said, not met well. You know, it's got, you know, I think a 5.8 on IMDb, 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. And then we go a little bit into the future. And in 2005, I can't believe it was 12 years ago that this was released, King Kong was made again. This time by Peter Jackson of the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit fame. And so we've got, once again, Ann Darrow, Carl Denham, Jack Driscoll, Captain Englehorn, But they were played by Naomi Watts, Jack Black, Carl Denham, and Adrian Brody, and Thomas Kretschmann. So this was kind of a semi-serious role for Jack Black, and a lot of people didn't know how he was going to handle it.
Yeah.
I thought he did fantastic. So I mean, it was a good movie. It was pretty well met by critics. It was, you know, financially it was a hit. So it was. It took a lot of things from the old King Kong too, like King Kong's roar is a lion's roar played backwards at half speed. So,
what?
And I think that's the way that, yeah, they took a lion's roar, they played it backwards, and then they played it at half speed as well.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that was King Kong's roar. So, but in this one, it kind of explored King Kong's home of Skull Island a little more than the 76 one did, I believe, because they brought out, you know, the giant bugs and the things that you saw in the 33 film as well. You know, dinosaurs, larger animals. You know, this was another one of those movies. It was a lot of CGI. So when I first heard of Kong Skull Island, I was like, ah, gosh, they're, you know, rehashing it again. And you know, I took a look at the cast, which had a lot of Marvel actors. Well, at least four of them that I know of that are in it. So you've got Tom Hiddleston, Samuel L. Jackson, Brie Larson, John C. Reilly, one of my favorites, John Goodman, and a slew of other people that are in it. A lot of people aren't familiar with it, but Mark Evan Jackson is one of my favorite actors. He was on a podcast that I listen to quite often. It was called The Thrilling Adventure Hour. And the whole thing on it was old time radio in a new format, like a podcast format. So they would go on and they would do radio shows on a podcast. Things like Mark Evan Jackson would play Sparks Nevada, the Sheriff of Mars, or Marshal of Mars. It was a lot of fun. So Mark Evan Jackson's in, and I've always really liked him. But I was wondering what was going on. But you've got Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki. You've got Sam Jackson, who plays Nick Fury. You've got John C. Reilly.
Whoa, did you just say Nick Fury?
Yes.
Nick Fury?
What did I say? What did I say wrong?
No, I'm just thinking of Marvel's Nick Fury.
Yeah, no. That's who they play in the Marvel movies.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Yeah. You've got
I thought you were naming the cast. Clearly, I need to be paying attention and stop looking at Jason Teasley leprechaun pictures.
Oh, my goodness.
But all right, go
C.
ahead
Reilly
and continue.
John C. Reilly was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He actually played a Nova Corman, and he played, I can't remember. His last name is Day, who actually was the Nova Corman that came to Earth and bestowed upon Richard Rider the Nova powers. So he actually has a character in Guardians of the Galaxy that was in Marvel lore, John C. Reilly. And
gotcha.
Of course we have our newest addition to the Marvel family, and that is Brie Larson, who's going to be our Captain Marvel.
Uh-huh.
She's going to be playing Carol Danvers. So when I saw that, I was kind of nerded out over the fact that, you know, so many of these characters, some of these actors that have been in Marvel and, you know, done such a great job, were going to be in this as well. So I was like, well, I'll give it a chance. And I didn't really read much about it, but, the basic storyline is a team of scientists explore an uncharted island, Skull Island, in the Pacific, venturing into the domain of the mighty Kong. I must fight to escape a primal Eden. So the setup of the story is that John Goodman and his assistant are a part of this group called Monarch, and Monarch is kind of the crackpot of, you know, the military laughs at them. They're a government agency, So they are monster hunters, basically. So they go under the pretense that, hey, this is an uncharted island, and we have satellite feed of it. The Russians are going to have satellite feed of it soon. Do you want us to find what's on there first, or do you want them to find it? And I say Russians, so let me set this up a little bit further, because this is set in 1973, not long after the end of the Vietnam War has been, you know, they said the U.S. was pulling out of Vietnam. So I'm a sucker for that era. I like the Vietnam War, you know, movies. So I was kind of stoked when that happened, because Samuel Jackson plays Preston Packard, who is actually a leader. He leads the military escort that helps the scientists go in and take, you know, to help them, you know, explore this island, Skull Island. So he actually leads his team in because this is his last chance to actually do something. He doesn't feel good about America pulling out of the war. He feels like they're giving up. So he's like, yeah, we're going to get in there. We're going to do something else. This is our last hurrah, even if it's just a simple escort mission. So they gather up helicopters. They gather up all their gear. They go to Skull Island. They start dropping seismic charges, which were bombs, to pretty much chart the island, which in turn gains the attention of the mighty Kong, who is king of that island.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, it all breaks loose, and they gain his attention. Now, I have to point out that King Kong, this is the second tallest King Kong that has been displayed on screen. The first tallest, I think, was in a Japanese film. But this King Kong is about 140 feet tall, 120 to 140 feet tall, and he is absolutely massive. He can grab a Black Hawk helicopter basically in one hand. And this, you know, it's just the way they did this. The guy who actually did the motion capture for King Kong was trained by Andy Serkis, who did Caesar, who did King Kong in the 2005 King Kong, who is known for his motion capture roles. So he's the one that was in a couple of the Planet of the Apes films with Andy. And Kong wakes up, you know, they get the attention of Kong. They find out that Kong is king of the island, and he's ticked off at him, not because they're there, but because they're awakening something else that is living under the island that he has kept at bay for some time. John C. Reilly plays a World War II pilot who, in the beginning of the movie, you find out it crash landed there and has been living there for 30 years on the island with the natives, and he has, you know, become one of them, even though he's a little crazy. But he's not over the wall, you know, he's not like over the top crazy. John C. Reilly did a phenomenal job at this. Sam Jackson is Sam Jackson. I mean, he's just there. He's, you know, pulling out guns and yelling out, hold on to your butts and everything else. You know, he's just, he does fantastic on everything he does. And then Tom Hiddleston plays the hero in this instead of the smarmy, slimy little brother, Loki. He does a great job in that. John Goodman is one of my favorite actors. He does fantastic in his role. So Kong Skull Island is not what I thought it was going to be. When I sat down and watched it, my jaw had dropped to the floor and just stayed there the entire time. I absolutely loved it. In fact, I saw it twice.
Wow.
I have a pretty good idea of what was sleeping under there. I have a pretty good idea, but I'm not going to say anything.
No spoilers.
I don't think it'll ruin anything. I don't think you can see it, what he's fighting on the trailer, but I'll just leave it at that. There is more than one. They through John C. Reilly, they find out that these people don't fear Kong. and Kong doesn't bother them, and they built a wall not to keep Kong out. He's actually their protector, and they view him as a god. He's king of the island. That's why he's King Kong. So they revere him. You know, they thank him. So this movie is visually stunning. It's well acted. It was well written. The special effects are incredible. And I was really blown away because I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting much, but I didn't know it wasn't anything what I was expecting. To be honest with you, it was actually quite incredible. Do y'all have any questions?
I was gonna say King Kong technically on the Japanese films was actually on a different island.
Yeah. Now this holds to the. To the American version of Skull Island. That's where they found King Kong. Now, in the original 1933 film, they built the temple where they were trying to sacrifice Anne to King Kong was actually used in Gone with the Wind. In the burn, you know, when they burned everything down in Gone with the Wind, one of the sets from King Kong, a lot of sets from a lot of different movies, were actually physically burned down for that scene. So we don't have much left of the 1933 film.
Wow.
So that's kind of sad. Yeah, so those were actually, like I said, physically burned down for that. Now, in this one, this was a lot of the in Skull Island, a lot of it was filmed in Hawaii. So you've got a lot of tropical background. It looks exotic. When they shot on location, it just looks fantastic. So I think it opened up with it got positive reviews from critics and has grossed $166.4 million worldwide, gets a $185 million budget. So it's only been open about a week and it's already almost made its budget. So
I was going to say, I think you misunderstood me. The Japanese version, he actually was from a different island. He was from Faroe Island instead of Skull Island.
That's what I'm saying.
What's Faroe Island?
Yeah.
Faroe Island.
What is that? Yeah.
Basically, in the Japanese version, he was from Faroe Island instead of Skull Island is basically how it went because... There's King Kong, the original, which took place on Skull Island, right?
Correct.
Okay,
and then you had the follow-up to that movie, which was The Son of Kong. And in The Son of Kong, at the end of that movie, Skull Island sinks into the ocean.
No.
So you have, I assume that the Japanese... basically saw that they had to use a different island. So they called it Faroe Island.
I was going to say, does anybody have, like, an idea about the rights of Kong, like the movie rights for Kong? Because, I mean, you see the Japanese using them in some of the Godzilla episodes the Godzilla movies. And, of course, we use them over here. Does he become, like, what's the word for when a character comes out of copyright? What is the name for that, Ronnie? It's like where anybody can use them.
Fair use.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
I didn't know if that was like something they, because it seemed awful early. They were using him awful early.
Well,
the Japanese were.
King Kong was, and Son of Kong were both in 1933. And then Ishiro Honda made King Kong versus Godzilla in 1962.
So it was almost 30-some years.
Before, yeah. So I think they kind of not sold the rights, but allowed them, allowed Toho, the distributor, to use that.
Was King Kong Godzilla the one with Perry Mason?
No.
No, okay. No, yeah.
Which one was that?
That was the original. That was the, well, not the original, but that was the American release of Godzilla.
Okay, all right, I got you. So
also, Godzilla 1985 had a few scenes with him in it as well.
All right. That's why we got Justin on here. So yeah. we could have those burning questions answered.
So King Kong, the character has only been in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, including Kong Skull Island films. Now Godzilla, he meets has been in a few more than that, but King Kong kind of falls into that kaiju realm of giant monsters. I think that's why they're including.
We're not going to count the 98 Godzilla film, by the way, so that doesn't fall into that,
well, that
another category there.
Well, that Godzilla appears in two movies.
Yeah, but I don't call it actually Godzilla, you know?
That's right.
They just call him Zilla, right?
Zilla.
Yeah.
Hey, I learned
not
that
actually Godzilla.
Specifically because Justin loaned me, was it Godzilla 2000?
Final
was
Wars.
That where,
Final
yes,
Wars.
Yes. Final Wars.
He only lasts like 10 seconds against Godzilla.
I think
yes,
that was
I
the
remember.
Nail in the coffin of saying
they threw him into the
wrong.
Yeah, they threw him in. It was the battle occurred in Australia, if I remember correctly.
Sydney.
Sydney, Australia, and threw him into the whatever that monument is there in Sydney.
Amphitheater.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of that.
Amphitheater, heat ray, boom, done.
So, well, King Kong get back to King Kong real quick. He's, you'd have to be live under a rock to not even heard the name King Kong. Because in popular culture, in everyday use, you know, you say King Kong, oh my gosh, he's as big as King Kong, or look at that guy, you know.
King Kong Bundy.
King
Kong Bundy, yeah. So everybody kind of knew who King Kong was and what he represented. He represented raw power. He represented, you know, strength. Primality, and if that's even a word, so it was just an excellent, wonderful idea that came from in 1933 to somebody just wanting a guerrilla, you know, terror movie, and it grew into no pun intended, it grew into King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
So King Kong through the years has changed. He's grown. He's become, more detailed, things like that. And the details on this movie are incredible. He grabbed a helicopter and by the tail, and the rotor cut him. And later on in the movie, you can see him looking at the cuts on his hand, and they were a little deep, but you know he washed them off, and that's when he fought another monster that wasn't one of the main ones. It was just this giant octopus squid kind of thing that was hiding in the water, and then he started to eat it. But
that's pretty common in the Japanese films, is the giant octopus or giant squids.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you see him fight. Yeah, you see him fight a giant octopus in, I believe it was King Kong versus Godzilla. Yeah, King Kong versus Godzilla. He fought Udaku.
Now the thing is with King Kong, you know, the few movies that I've seen, it was always a matter of him being like a misunderstood, or they've attempted to exploit him, but you know it was always the fact that, you know, hey, this is a thing that should have been left alone in the first place. Humanity should just leave this guy alone and let him do his own thing. And instead, when humanity meddles in his life, or it starts to become part of his world, it the two clash and it ends up destroying, which is always what made it sad. But
to kill the beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how the original ended. It was Beauty that killed the beast.
He became didn't he become obsessed with her or something? He
mm-hmm.
wanted to keep what was her name?
Fay Wray.
Anne. Well, Fay Wray was the original actress, but her
name
is Anne Darrow.
I'm just saying, that's the actor.
Gotcha.
So, I would have to say, okay, the with the monster movies that have been out, which has just been Godzilla lately, people were really down on it. Now, I enjoyed what most of it. You know, the overall, I enjoyed the movie of Godzilla, but people were really down on the guy. It took less off of Godzilla and focused more on the people in it. The guy trying to get back to his family, the romance.
Yeah.
We're talking the
2014 Godzilla with Bryan Cranston.
Right. Yeah, isn't that movie called Where's My Wife? A movie featuring Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, is Adam here?
Adam might be. I don't know. Let me take a look at the switchboard.
Adam, are you in studio?
He is not in the studio from what I can see.
Okay.
Now, I will say, if they would have went the scientific way with that Godzilla nude, I would have been all in for that. I really would have.
Scientific way? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, every Godzilla nude usually has the action or the scientific way. It's never really a whole dramatic thing, really.
Oh, okay. So you're saying focus more on, how are we gonna take this? How are we gonna take this guy out instead of the whole emotional? Oh crap! Monster movie disaster piece.
Or you have the group of people that are on Godzilla's side. They're helping him fight. They're fighting the aliens as he's fighting the giant monsters being controlled by those aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked it better if Cranston would have stayed alive. And then they went off and tried figuring it out, and then the son and, found his wife, and okay, gone,
What I was trying to get to with the Godzilla and then focusing on the whole, it's really weird because it was the two actors, Elizabeth Olsen, and I can't remember his name, but they also play Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in Avengers Age of Ultron. So they play brother and sister in one, and then they're in that movie, and then they were husband and wife in Godzilla. It was kind of odd. But they focused too much on them and not enough on the monster. Now, in this one, King Kong, I mean, the people are the story, but Kong is the central focus piece as well. Because there is no, I mean, there's hints of two of the main characters, having feelings for each other, whatever. But that's not even part of the storyline. This is revenge and protection, like a revenge movie for some in some aspects, just pure primal hatred, revenge, and then on the other aspect, it is a get off my property movie, kind of hey, this is my place, you're here, I want you gone, or I you have to abide by my rules. So there
hey,
is
people,
that, there
get off my
movie.
Lawn.
Yeah.
Right. Who was that?
That was Justin doing a scary impersonation.
That was
get off my lawn.
Oh. Wow. But it's one of those things. Sorry, I keep getting Adam. I don't think you're in studio, buddy. You may be hearing us, but I think you're just listening to the show. So
yeah, unfortunately, I haven't seen him pop up yet. He is. I have the listing over here. I don't see him yet, so I'm keeping an eye out though. Tell him to keep trying.
Okay, can I add something really fast to your Skull Island there?
Yeah.
I've been seeing actual, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. I mean, it's like scenes that they were thinking about doing, but they actually didn't put into it. And it looks like they were actually thinking about actually putting Manda, the serpent, into it at one time.
I think they were, but they had so much going on with this other stuff that really, honestly, I didn't miss it. There is a lot going on. They could save that for later Kong movies. You know what I mean?
Or they could bring up Atragon even.
I don't know
where. Atragon was a Japanese underwater movie with a submarine, and Amanda was one of the kaiju that was in that movie.
Okay. Trust me, you won't miss them. So this whole thing, you know, is like I said, the movie's fantastic. I'm going to spoil one part for you.
And, okay.
I hope you don't mind. So this will actually either you'll hate me or you'll thank me for having to stay through the whole credits. Honestly,
Jaguars there, right?
Jet Jaguar!
No, God, no. I know who Jet Jaguar is. Jeez.
I hope that there will be a multi-movie crossover with the Power Rangers at some point. That would be awesome.
You guys are killing me. So at the end, of course, you know that they take two main characters in this room at the end. And you know there's going to be somebody that gets off the island no matter what. So they take these two characters in there, and they're like, we don't understand why we're here. We just want to go home. We're not going to tell anybody. We get it. What, you know, there was no island. There is no Kong. There is no island. And they come in. They say, what island are you talking about? They're like, what's the deal here? He goes, welcome to Monarch. And they're like, oh, God, again with this Monarch crap. And they said, no, what you don't understand is they kind of echo, hey, Adam.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said hello.
No. Adam is psychically going across. Nobody else can hear him but Ronnie.
I have no clue. Can anybody hear me?
Wow, you're choppy.
Well, I'm going to quote my girlfriend and Jesse's sister from last night. Way to go, Funyun.
What?
Adam is
better?
Listening, so he knows what's going on here. But
I've been trying to figure out how to work this thing.
So yeah, Blog Talk Radio is not friendly. Not user friendly, but at the end of the movie, they go. They're sitting there and they're like, "What?" They echo John Goodman's character. Something he said. What you don't understand? Monsters are real. This world never belonged to us. It belonged to them before that. And I was sitting there going, "What?" The characters are like, "What are you talking about?" So they say, "Look at this," and they show them the film, you know, footage, found film footage or whatever, of excavation. Where these scientists are going through and they find these cave, almost like cave paintings of people documenting what they've seen. And what they painted on the walls was Godzilla.
Ooh.
Rodan.
Oh.
Mothra.
Oh.
And King Ghidorah.
Oh, man.
So not only do you get King Kong, but they are setting up for Kong versus Godzilla, and they're setting up for King of the Monsters.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to get Mothra, King Ghidorah.
I just really wish they would have had them in their own films, I guess. I guess that's just...
We don't know.
Well, you want like...
Cool stuff.
What'd you say, Ronnie?
What, Jesse? We don't know that they're not going to do that. We don't know
true.
That they're not going to do that.
That's
we
true. I was
going to
say, he wants like an Avengers build-up, I think.
Yeah. We don't know that they're not going to do that.
Toho did it first, man. Toho did it first.
Okay. All right.
Listen, you find me one movie, other than a few, you know, obvious ones, that has not been a ripoff of something else lately. A remake, you know, the Marvel movies aren't remakes, but they are coming off of the comic books. Most of the, you know, I mean, my God, they're remaking Chips.
I saw an advertisement for that.
They're going down the route of 21 Jump Street. and they're making a rated R chips, which I was a Chips fan when I was a kid. You can't make chips rated R. You can't make
it. Yeah, but
it
looks hilarious. It looks really funny, actually.
Listen, Ponch and John. Ponch was the woman, the ladies' man. John was the straight lace one. And this one, they're trying to make Ponch the cool one and John the dork. And I'm like, there was no dorks. They were both cool. So I'm a little cheesed off about that one. So, you know, they're bringing the kaiju film. You know, it has a specific audience. It has this cult following, but I really feel that by bringing it to America, it's going to gain some more followers. It's going to gain some more fans. So I'm kind of excited because if they keep going along with the way they did Kong Skull Island, they're going to be fantastic.
I'm just throwing this out here. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, the next movie they're going to make is Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, that's going to be epic.
Yeah.
Just unreal.
And that's in 2020.
I was just looking just to see what I could possibly find here. Warner Brothers Pictures brought us Kong Skull Island, okay?
Mm-hmm. Which, where is my mind?
Warner Brothers Pictures also brought us Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah.
Just putting that out there.
See,
and
there's talk about that.
Both Legendary Pictures as well. So they say the production company is Legendary Pictures. So that would be, dude, I mean, come on. The humans actually get a chance to fight. Justin, you're the expert here. Did the humans ever build a robot other than, of course, not the large human Jet Jaguar, but did the humans ever build like a robot or anything to fight any of the kaiju from Toho or any of the films that you've seen?
1993, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2. They made Mechagodzilla, and so the aliens, like in 1974, was Mechagodzilla. And Godzilla versus Space Godzilla and Mogera, which the humans built instead of the Mysterians did in the Mysterians movie.
Okay.
Who built the robot version of King Ghidorah?
The robot version of King Ghidorah? It was actually a cyborg. It was part alive, part robot.
That's right.
And it was the Futurians. It was one of the Futurian people that actually revived it.
Okay, so for those of you people that don't have a freaking clue what we're talking about, we're talking about we've talked about it a little bit before, but we went into tokusatsu at one time a long time ago. It's basically tokusatsu is special effects based entertainment from Japan. Well,
it's basically fighting shows. Sometimes with kaiju in it.
Power Rangers. You know, from here in the States, it's Power Rangers. It was VR Troopers. You know, things like that. So kaiju is a subgenre of tokusatsu, and it's basically means strange beast. So it's a film genre that features monsters. You know, giant monsters attacking major cities. Just like, you know, you got Godzilla is the most famous one. But the ones we were talking about that go along with Godzilla, we've got Mothra, which is one of my favorites because he's just a giant moth.
She.
Do what?
It's a she.
Oh, she's a giant moth. Sorry. Pardon me.
It has affected his whole life. He's been brought up thinking that Mothra was a guy, and now things have changed.
No, it's a monster.
If it were a boy, it would be Mothro, right? Mothra is the feminine version.
Oh my gosh!
No, the male version would have been Mothbro.
Oh god.
Oh, man. We're just digging this even deeper, man.
Mothra
is one of the more popular monsters and is second only to Godzilla in its total number of film appearances. So, and there were polls taken in the 90s and indicated that Mothra was particularly popular amongst women, who were at the time the largest demographic among Japan's movie-going audience. So I think it's pretty interesting that Mothra was pretty popular, and I don't remember of all the movies I've seen Mothra in, did Mothra have any kind of like special like power? Like, you know, Godzilla has his electric breath and, you know, things like that. Did he have any, or did she have any other powers other than like flapping her wings really hard and making like, you know, strong gusts of wind?
In larva form, it has the powerful silk that it shoots out of its mouth. But in the Heisei era, Godzilla and Mothra bow for Earth. They actually do have Mothra and the evil counterpart Batra fighting Godzilla at the same time, and it's shooting it's releasing a stun spore out of its wings, and I believe it's actually shooting rays out of its antenna.
Okay, so there you go.
You said the Heisei era? What's that?
Basically, it starts from 1985. The Godzilla 85. And basically, the way that works is 85 only sees as far back as 1954. It doesn't take into consideration anything between 54 and 85. It doesn't exist.
It's like a reboot?
Now it's not a reboot. It's actually a sequel. It just rolled a delay right there.
Okay.
It's got the 54 and then it moves on forward to 85. Then you got the Showa, which is 54 moving on up through all the movies, but Showa doesn't notice 85 because it's totally different.
All right.
Showa ends at 79 with Terra Mechagodzilla.
Okay. So let's talk a little more about the characters that showed up at the end of Kong Skull Island on the wall there. So we've got Mothra, then Rodan, we'll just say Rodan, is another kaiju monster. And it's interesting because Rodan is actually just a giant pterodactyl. And not just a giant pterodactyl, that's terrifying. He is a giant pterodactyl. His Japanese name is Radon, which came from it's a contraction of pterodon, pterodactyl, pterodon. So it was changed to Rodan for English speaking markets in order to avoid confusion with the element radon.
A little bit of trivia. How many Rodan were there in the original movie?
I have no clue.
Wait. There were more than one Rodan in the original Godzilla movie?
Rodan.
Okay, gotcha. I'll give a guess. I will say four.
There was two.
Two. Any specific reason why there were two?
There were just two of them. I mean, that's basically how it went. They thought there was one for like the long time, then they found out
there were
two.
Because there were two, Jesse. There were two.
Suck it. I'll take a big. Okay.
So it's all right that there was four, but not all right that there was two.
I'm not watching it because there's not four. I think that's ridiculous. They only had two. I'm never going to watch that movie. No, I didn't know if there was like, because when I think of kaiju, I think of like one monster. You know, there aren't like four Kongs running around on Skull Island. There are not 9 Godzillas taken care of over there in the ocean. So 2 Rodans. All right. Trivia noted.
Now, Rodan was thought to be dead at the end of the movie basically because they wounded the one Rodan and it fell into the volcano, and the other one followed it into the volcano at the end.
That's very interesting.
Remind me. Yeah, I know, right? Justin, remind me, Rodan, what special powers did he have?
Jesse's supposed to remind you of that. Okay, hold on.
I said Justin.
Did you say Justin? Oh, okay, my
I
bad.
I did. I don't know if I actually did or not, but in my head, I did.
Oh, basically flying at high speeds, causing sonic booms, and the whole wind gust. And then, with the exception of Fire Rodan and Mechagodzilla 2, we're actually breathing the heat ray.
Okay. So, now in the other one, the last one we're going to talk about is actually one of my favorites. It's Ghidorah, or better known as King Ghidorah. Ghidorah is a three-headed dragon that has shown up in multiple movies. He has, the power of flight and the capacity to fire gravity beams from its mouth. So this was one of the cooler ones to me because it seemed to me he was, as a kid watching it, I was like, he's the one that faces that poses one of the biggest problems for Godzilla. So I really, I was a big fan of Ghidorah or King Ghidorah back in the day when Godzilla was, fighting him. And of course you've got Godzilla, who was pretty much king of the monsters, and Godzilla is Godzilla, unless you're talking about the 98 Godzilla, which is known as Zilla, and was promptly killed quickly, as we discussed earlier.
which version of Ghidorah do you actually prefer? Do you prefer the one from outer space that came from the meteorite, or do you like the Futurians created one with the Dorats?
The first one.
Yeah,
and I'm pulling that answer completely out of my butt because I am not well versed in Kaiju as you are.
Have you seen the two versions by chance? There, Ronnie.
I'm sure I have. But these monster movies to me, I enjoy them. I'm not immersed into the mythology as much as he is, mm-hmm. as much as Justin is. Justin is a fan, is a super fan, and puts me to shame. Whereas I'm just a fair weather fan of like, oh my gosh, this is on, let's watch it. And I don't have a clue what's going on, but I love it. You know what I mean?
I see. Now, Jesse was really surprised in Final Wars by Ghidorah, weren't you, Jesse?
It's been a while since I've seen it, Justin. Help me out. I mean, I know I'm looking at a bunch of pictures now. What happened?
Do you remember it started out as Monster X?
Oh, that's right. And then it changed into
King Ghidorah. Kaiser Ghidorah, actually.
And I'm telling you right now, I had a lot of fun watching. It used to be I didn't give a whole lot of. I didn't give a whole lot of credit to the mythology for Godzilla until I watched some of the Japanese, the Toho ones. As a matter of fact, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm trying to make my way through Shin Godzilla, the one that just got released. Was it last year, Justin?
Yeah.
The most recent Godzilla movie?
It was 2015, I think.
2015. Okay.
Yeah.
I really wanted to watch. I really wanted to make my way through that, but it's neat to see this is kind of where the monster movie took its roots over there in Japan, and there's just this certain style that they do with these movies that a lot of people want to see emulated over here when the American film gets done. And I think a lot of people feel let down when they take some of these monsters and really, you know, just like the 98 Godzilla. I remember going to – I think I went to the theater and watched that movie, by the way. And I owned it on DVD. One of the first movies that I owned on DVD, if I remember correctly. But, you know, that was – all that was Godzilla versus the state of New York.
Yeah.
And we didn't get all these other great monsters.
In Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I can't forget that. And Matthew Broderick, anyway.
I do have to say this, Jesse. If a giant lizard attacks New York, who other than Matthew Broderick would you rather have?
Oh, yeah. That's the first person that comes to mind.
Right.
Not some guy that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger or
no, just a warm loving scientist.
Yeah, that's right.
Adam, would you rather have Matthew Broderick, or would you rather have Arnold or Stallone or me?
I'm going to take door number four and go with Chuck Norris.
Oh, winner.
No, he's not in the equation.
Winner, chicken dinner.
It's because Chuck Norris is the equation, or you can say he's the zero of the equation. You can't really divide or we can do limits to infinity, and he would be infinity. So.
Okay, stop.
That is a great Scar Symmetry song, by the way.
Which one? Limits to Infinity?
Limits to Infinity. I'm posting right now.
That's also a really, really deep subject in calculus.
It's a heavy metal song.
But that's okay. Moth Bro. By the way, that's funny.
Hashtag Moth Bro.
did you hear that, Adam, earlier, what I was talking about?
No, I see where Jesse tagged me in it, and I just saw it, and I thought, man, that's one of the greatest hashtags I've seen in a long time.
No, last night, whenever you couldn't make the podcast, my girlfriend, who is also Jesse's sister, she said, "Way to go, Funyun."
Way to go.
Giving him a hard time. Adam's
like,
never heard
that
before.
That reminds me of Billy Madison, where Boy's like, Doyle rules.
Doyle rules, yes.
Oh, Doyle.
Way to go, Funyun.
Okay, so we've gotten off the rail a little bit here.
No, not
on this show. Never. So, with your familiarity, of course, I know Justin will be going to see Kong Skull Island soon, and we'll probably follow up with the other movies. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, definitely.
I was going to say absolutely.
Yeah. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, most certainly.
Adam?
Yes.
That's a definitive yes.
I know. It's like, so, Justin, and then it's just dead silence for 30 seconds. Yeah, I'll be going. Oh, Jesse.
Jeez, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. Adam. And then it's just like 4 minutes. And then he answers. But
okay.
It's funny. But, so, guys, I mean, I know this has been kind of an eclectic show tonight, but, It got me – I got to tell you all a little bit about Kong Skull Island. I got to talk about it and how much I enjoyed it and how much it blew me away, and I wasn't expecting it to do that. And also, I'm really excited because not on Justin's level, but I am a fan of the old kaiju movies. There's a lot of them on Netflix right now. There's a lot of Godzilla movies on Netflix right now.
Is there?
I was really shocked, yeah. If I can remember right, there's I wish there was some original, you know, Godzilla movie. Or maybe is it Netflix or is it another one?
It might be another one. Come on, much right now. And the only dinosaur type movies are like Jurassic Park and
Sharknado.
Is it Dinosaur?
Is it on Hulu?
It may
be
on Hulu.
Sorry, it's on Stars. There's a ton
other streaming service that I don't have.
It comes with my DirecTV package. DirecTV, if you want to send me some money for that would be fun.
Mr. Moneybags.
So
I got triggered there for a second. Stars.
Stars.
Nemesis.
I want to ask why, but I don't. I'm kind of scared to.
I just said it's Nemesis.
Nemesis. What Nemesis?
From Resident Evil 3.
Oh,
see, I
okay.
had no idea. Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't. Ronnie Adams, never, take control, man. We have.
And I'm trying. I'm trying
we've
real
officially
hard.
Grabbed
I'm
the wheel.
And veered us off the road into a ravine. But no, this was, like I said, I just wanted to get on here for about an hour or so, which is what we've been doing. Talk about it, just kind of announce, you know, kind of let you know that there are more kaiju movies coming up. So I'm pretty pumped about that. Especially, I cannot tell you guys enough. Somehow, some way, you have got to see Kong Skull Island. And then, I mean, like, just for the military aspect, for the... Like I said, it was set in 1973, like days after the announcement, hey, we're pulling out of Vietnam. So Sam Jackson's character has kind of this breaking moment, this Apocalypse Now moment of like, I have to do something, you know, about this imminent threat. And if you look at the theatrical poster of Kong Skull Island, it is a throwback. It is an homage to Apocalypse Now.
Ooh.
So if you look that up, I mean, it's got two choppers flying in. It's got the soldiers marching through the waters, and it's got the sunset with Kong in the background.
The horror.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fantastic, man, and and. The catch line for it was actually pretty great too. All hail the king. So there was
nice.
The one thing that I have read and have listened or heard, I should say, is that Brie Larson, whose character is Mason Weaver in this. She's a reporter. They call her a war reporter, but she calls herself a peace reporter because. She did not make any friends during the Vietnam War by taking the pictures that she took, apparently. The U.S. soldiers, you know, in the storyline, it didn't gain any, so you didn't do us any good by taking those pictures. So she showed the horrors of the Vietnam War. But Brie Larson is getting some crap for being the Faye Ray type character in this movie of not being a strong female character, which is complete bullcrap because she takes the bull by the horns a couple of times in this and is a very strong female character. So my question is real quick, a little political, a little out there. Do you think that, how can I phrase this? Screw it. Do you think it's getting a little out of hand with this not girl power stuff? I'm all about a strong female lead. But if a character who is a female shows any kind of weakness, any kind of anything like that, she's immediately attacked and said, am I justified in saying that she's immediately attacked and said, you're not representing women fairly anymore?
Who you want to go first?
I'll go.
Jesse, Adam. Adam will go first. No, Adam.
Go. Adam.
You got him.
Go.
No, I think what you have is in this kind of case is you have a very very small subsect of the population with hypersensitive things like that. So the problem with that is they're the loudest also. So you're going to get a lot of pushback from them, and they're all part of the same. The same area, I guess, They're all buddies. So the actors in these in this subsect, they're all friends. So
mm-hmm.
Platform, I guess, and they have lots of platforms that cover them as well. So I mean, I think it's just a hypersensitivity of a small group of people. You know, plus it's like okay. anything else. It's cool at this point. It's popular. It's a popular mindset right now. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, just, yeah. I agree. It's you know, look, there's just too many people griping about you know that these what somebody should have done. In a movie or in a TV show or how somebody should have been portrayed. You know what? Look, we don't have the directors and the actors don't have a responsibility to the public other than to make a movie that's entertaining. Okay. Because somebody is not being portrayed as, you know, a strong lead or, you know, a strong female lead.
Can we say not being portrayed to your standards of
right.
a strong female lead.
Exactly.
Not Jesse Starcher's, but the people that are complaining.
Yeah, it's your personal opinion. And now all of a sudden you find 12 other people that have that same personal opinion. You got to jump on. Oh my gosh, you can't possibly be happy with the fact that you portrayed a weak woman who was in danger all the time. Look, if you don't like the movie, don't watch it. Okay? Don't go on your jump on the bandwagon with all your friends and try to burn the place down. Just leave it alone
right.
and go find something that you enjoy. Okay, I don't care what your opinion is on somebody on what how somebody's acting or how somebody was portrayed in some way. Just don't watch it. Don't give the person any money. And
right.
Then now, really, what you're seeking to do is to influence somebody's opinion who has never seen it. That's
right.
And that's not fair, in my opinion.
And then I just want to throw out that they reversed the role. On the newest Ghostbuster movie, and everybody was complaining about that too, making him weak.
Oh,
right,
and dumb. Kristen,
yeah. Weak and dumb. Yeah, there's no happy medium there.
I was
all about the female Ghostbusters. I wanted to see if it was going to be any good. I was intrigued. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go on this with an open mind. My opinions to be completely and utterly biased going into this movie. I don't want to be that guy. So I was like, all right, so let's watch this movie. And it was on Stars. You know, I have on DirecTV. I was like, oh, great, you know, I can, you know, watch this on demand, I can, you know, do whatever, it doesn't cost me money, so if the movie sucks, I don't have to worry about it. The movie sucked out loud, and it wasn't because there were girl Ghostbusters, it was because the movie sucked. It was a terrible movie.
Because it sucked.
Sorry. Yeah, it was just not a good movie. So a lot of people... A lot of the, like you said, this small subgenre of people, or subgenre, this small sect of people who, you know, have this opinion, they automatically jump on the bandwagon of, oh, you don't like it because they're girls. No, I don't like it because it wasn't good.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like it.
A lot of our... I mean, what we do on here, every podcast, is we provide usually either a breakdown of something and then an opinion. But I think people should be smart enough to understand you make your own opinions and decisions based on your own personal interaction with whatever it is. So if we sit here and have an opinion on a film, don't take our word for it. Go watch it yourself and gather your own opinion. You know, and so many people are concerned about
–
Yeah, so many people are concerned about what the critics are saying. Well, we're looking at it right now. You know, this is totally off topic, but Ronnie, I know, is in the process of watching Iron Fist, and so is Mark Ratledge. And everybody is crapping all over. Everybody had crapped all over it. Now, if Ronnie and Mark would have listened to the critics, they would have been like, well, I'm not going to watch this. Turns out things are actually a little bit different so far in your guys' opinion of the show, correct?
I like it.
There you go.
I think it's a good show.
So if it was...
I'm just going to say, it seems to me like everything I like, the critics hate.
Yeah. Well, listen, we live in a politically charged era right now where everybody has a voice, whether they want to have it or not, because of social media. You know, and everybody, you know, we have a lot of people that have that do a lot of yelling on their soapboxes about stuff that they may not be educated about. So I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying some people. So when you go on social media or when you go on whatever and you say, this movie is terrible, I'm giving it a terrible rating because Danny Rand is white. And I think that it should be an Asian character playing Iron Fist because it is about Asian culture, it is about martial arts, it is about this. Well, if you had done your research and you hadn't been ignorant to the fact that Danny Rand in the comic books is a white man, who was who lost his family? You know, his family died in China. You know, on the search for this magical place. You know, then you would maybe hopefully look at it a little differently.
Exactly. You know, stick to the source material.
Hey.
Yeah. Stick to the source material. Another plug.
There you go.
You know, a lot of people. Just automatically, you know, like I said, we live in such a politically charged time. You know, we live in a time of political correctness, and everybody wants to stand for something, but even if they don't know what they're standing for, you know, they want to stand for something. They automatically grab a hold of it. They don't get all the information, and then they start, you know, they start complaining about it.
Yeah, and switch this back to the lead character of this film. You know, hey. She is there to act. She's an actress, for Pete's sake. I mean, look, I'm not going to give a director a hard time because he wrote a character a certain way. If I like it, I like it. If not, you know, hey, I don't like it. But I'm not going to validate somebody else's opinion on the fact that somebody doesn't like the way she was, you know, she seemed weak in the role in some way. Look, I understand feminism and power to the women, whatever. But let somebody, this is the 1970s. This is a freaking, I don't know, you know, if I was on an island, I'd probably be acting like a girl myself. Want to talk about a weak role, I'm going to step right into it.
You weak man.
How dare you, sir? Automatically assume that women are weak.
Exactly. I mean, there's no.
How dare you?
You're allowed to show fear and weakness in a role. Believe it or not.
Stick to Adam's opinion on things here. He's gonna be like, "I hate this movie." Well, why do you hate this movie? Because Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Why do you hate this food? Why do you hate this meal? Because Chuck Norris.
It is an argument that cannot be, it is a reasoning that cannot be argued against. You just say Chuck Norris and you win the argument every time.
You know, it's like you go in. It's like that was the verdict. The verdict of the O.J. Simpson case. You know, it does not. If it was, it must quit. It was just he walked in and they're like, you know, Your Honor, Chuck Norris, not guilty.
I missed that. I totally missed that on OJ.
No wonder
everybody remembers where they were when the verdict was handed down. Because
it's the alternative ending.
Ronnie Adams. Lord.
Did he leave?
Yeah, you're the one that's encouraging them.
No, not me.
Don't yell at me. So,
Bam.
Well, guys, I think we're going to end it on that so we don't get too Don't get old Papa Adams over here too worked up. So we're going to start with Justin, and we're going to say, "Hey, Justin, where can we? What's going on with you, man? Plug us something. Tell us what's going on. Anything?
Everything going on, man. I'm everywhere.
I hear you.
I'm everywhere, man.
pretty much. I'm a big gamer. You can find me on Steam under Spectre 13. You can also find me on Xbox Live under Arctic Lightning. And the Sony PlayStation Network, you find me under Spectre 13 there. I'm also under my name, Justin Thomas, under on Facebook. And then I have Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, you name it. I'm there under Spectre 13. Just look for the approving Deadpool pic. You'll find me.
There you go.
The big thumbs up.
What do you got going on in the world of Star Trek? The Star Trek's world of awesome lately.
Street level Star Trek level.
Street
huh?
level starch. That's right. Here. I tell you what. Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. We're on here right now. As a matter of fact, you can go into the archives. The archives of the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, and you can find my podcast that I have on here, which is Source Material, usually airs every Monday or every other Monday. We are almost to 110 episodes. That's insanity. I think when Iron Fist hits, we will be in the 110s. So if anybody's interested in a comic book show where we go in and we look at the take a story. Sometimes it's a great story, sometimes it's not so great, and we break it down for you. So recently, upcoming is our Iron Fist, the Living Weapon two-parter. It's going to be this Monday, this coming Monday, and next Monday. So keep an eye out for that. That should be hitting.
This was some of the most fun I've ever had on Source Material. Now, I have a lot of fun on Source Material. I mean, like, it's a great show. I love being a part of it, but I was hurting. I was laughing so hard.
My gosh, we had appearances. We discussed. We discussed Ham Sandwich Anders, the author slash artist of the book, and we also discussed the living god, Whistle Stop Jenkins, who made
Whistle
an appearance.
Stop
Oh, man, you guys just mentioned Ham Sandwich. That reminds me, where I work, we done a T-shirt just recently, and I kid you not, the kid's last name was Frankenberry.
No, come on.
Like the cereal?
Awesome. Like seriously, yes. I did a double take, and I just could not stop laughing the whole time I'm working on this shirt.
You know, if I had the last name Frankenberry, I'll do stuff. So that people would look at me and be like, "How dare you? I'm heir to the Frankenberry fortune."
Because
Frankenberry
the Chuck third, Norris, right?
Chuck Norris.
We basically, I'm not going to give anything away to the show, but if we couldn't pronounce it, we gave it a hobo name.
Oh, and don't get us started on the Zhu Rong. Man, there was some bad stuff going on. I'm on the fence of keeping the whole argument we had about pronouncing Zhurong, because that went on for a good 5 minutes. But regardless, ladies and gentlemen, well, considering Mark Radulich had a personal stake in that pronunciation, but anyway, you can check that out. It's coming up. It's going to be in the next two Mondays on here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. And last week, this past Monday, that just happened. I believe we aired the live episode that I did down at the local brick and mortar comic shop, Asylum Comics. Got to hang out with some good buddies down there. Got to hang out with my boys from the Kapow podcast. That's Cliff, the Grand Poobah, Michael K. Easton, Jordan Lowe. Also got to hang out with Remy there of Dueling Ogres. And we all had a fun time with No Agenda. So it's real funny to put three podcasts together and have nothing on the table to talk about. And everybody's just kind of scrambling to try and, okay, what do we do? Well, we make fun of the guy sitting by us. That's pretty much what we do the first half hour. And then.
So it's 30 degrees outside.
For a minute,
that's pretty cool.
I thought you said a name for a minute there. I thought you said no agenda.
No agenda. Good old no agenda felt showed up. Showed
that's
up quite a bit.
That's no agenda.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for me. I think just give the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like, stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer over there. And I turn it back over to Ronnie Adams, sir.
Adam, what's going on?
Right now, you can find me at Exhaustic Dog. But if you don't want to search there, you can find me on Twitter at Adam is a Nerd. And can I also say that whoever mentioned Whistle Stop Jenkins, that sounds like a name from Psych.
Say it again, a name from where?
Whistle Stop Jenkins.
Yes, but where? A name from where?
Psych.
Kind of, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
He's not an elder Chinese fire god, are you sure?
No.
All right.
No, he's
okay.
Not. He's not. He's a
you
fucking
can find. You can find us, Screaming Boy Podcast, on Facebook. If it's on social media, we've got an account. Like I said before, we even have a Snapchat. I don't use it because I think it's the devil. So, not really. I just don't have any way to use it right now. But we have Instagram. We have
Snapchat is the devil. I mean, who's on there always sending us weird stuff?
I'm trying to plug our stuff. So you can find us on Instagram at Screaming Boy Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, just look up Screaming Boy Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Screaming Boy PR. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Radulation Broadcasting Network. I'm with Source Material and a ton of other great shows: TV Party Tonight, Damn You Hollywood, the 411 Ground Pound, Metal Hammer of Doom. We've got all these great shows on the Radulation Broadcasting Network, and a lot of times they are the key word is synchronicity. What?
Synergy.
Synergy. I was making words up. Synergy. So they've got whole weeks of just great content of new stuff that's coming out. So please check out the Screaming Boy Podcast on any one of those. Click the like button, click the 5 stars, leave us a comment, email us. You can email us, info@screamingboy.com, if I've said something to tick you off tonight, and we will talk about it. Or if you like what I said, or, you know, if you want to talk about Kong Skull Island, or you just need a hello, you can email us, or you can get in touch with us on any form of social media. Guys, this has been a great great time. Thank you once again to Mark Radulis for letting us have the Friday night spot and do a live show. So, guys, I'm going to call it a night, and I'm going to say we're out.